Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome to The Punt here with William Hill. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair today. Tom Kerwin joins me on the line to look ahead to the best of the midweek action. We've got eight games to focus on. Mr. Kerwin, how are things?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Looking forward to the return of the European football because I think, like a lot of people, the international break didn't exactly satisfy our needs, did it? So I think there's some really cracking games this week, really good ones.
There are some humdingers, and we come here off the back of a cracking weekend of Premier League action as well. We're recording this on Monday, so prior to the Leicester-West Brom game. But, I mean, we saw Man City absolutely annihilate Stoke. We'll get onto that in a bit more detail later. We saw Manchester United and Liverpool play out a slightly underwhelming 0-0 draw, I think it's fair to say. But plenty of the teams who were involved in big games at the weekend have got big games coming up, and not least Man City. We will start with them. They're at home to Napoli, and they are in the betting here at 8-15. The draw is 7-2, and Napoli are 4-1. Man City so far in the Champions League, Tom, have had absolutely no worries whatsoever. A 4-0 win against Feyenoord in Holland and a 2-0 win at home to Shakhtar Donetsk. They're yet to concede a goal. That said, you would imagine that Napoli will provide the sternest opposition that they're going to get in the group stages.
Yeah, this is probably one of the fixtures of the week, I think, in the Champions League. You know, given both teams' form, given how rampant Napoli have been as well domestically. I mean, both teams are sitting top of the table, you know, of their respective leagues. Napoli are 2 points better off than Man City. They've played the same amount of games. And the goal differences look pretty healthy as well, with City at plus 25, Napoli at plus 21. So both these teams have been scoring just, you know, bucket loads of goals and sweeping everybody before them. And, you know, I look at Napoli's kind of approach to this one and the way that they've been playing. In particular, you know, the victory on Saturday against Roma, and that was a big sort of statement win. It was only by a goal to nil. It was tight. But you know what that kind of meant, really, as far as, you know, them at the top of the table with Roma close by. It was one of those sort of statement victories as opposed to, you know, a scintillating performance. And it just goes to show to me that Napoli, while Roma aren't one of the best teams in Italy, obviously, that they can go away from home and they can grind out a result when they need to, because previous to that, they've been scoring threes and fours in most of the other matches. So I think this is set up to be a really, really open and attacking game. 17 goals in the last 7 away matches Napoli have scored. They've conceded 5 goals in their last 4 games away in the Champions League. So when we're looking at Napoli travelling, they can score, they can concede, and that's a very apt description at the moment for Manchester City. Even at the weekend, given how good Man City were, they still conceded a couple against Stoke, didn't they? And that's always going to be there for them. And I'd seen a few of the pundits talk about City's performance at the weekend and kind of make that point that they're not going to change. You know, we have to look at teams, and when we're trying to assess how a side's going to approach a match from a betting perspective, we look at managers. We looked at Jose Mourinho last week and thought, well, what's he going to do at Anfield? And he did roughly what we expected, but we knew he was going to change things. We don't think that with Pep Guardiola. You know, Man City are going to be, I wouldn't necessarily say as open, but they're going to be as an attack-minded and try to be as fluid and as fluent as they have been in the Premier League against much lesser opposition than Napoli. So does that mean that I think that Napoli can get a result? I don't, because I think Man City are a better team. They've got better players. And if they play anywhere near to how they did against Stoke, and I know it's a step up in opposition for them, then they should beat Napoli. But, you know, you could not look at this game and not expect goals, given the firepower on both teams, given the way that both teams have started the season, absolutely full of confidence. I think for me that this is not going to be tight and cagey. This is going to be a game with plenty of goals. And I actually think the over 4.5, so at least 5 goals in the game at 2-1 looks pretty tempting. But City and both teams have scored as well at 6-4 is decent value, I think.
Okay. Man City themselves in 2017 have scored exactly 5 goals in all competitions at home, 5 times, and obviously add to that the 7 at the weekend. They do tend to score plenty of goals. And these two sides did face off in the Champions League in 2011, and both teams scored in both of those clashes, although Man City were winless, a draw and a Napoli win in those. The one thing that is interesting, Tom, is that given the order of the games, if you like, and the fact that Man City will have to travel to Napoli after this, let's say that Napoli are to lose this and maybe draw against Man City at home, just theoretically. They're going to be in a bit of a sticky situation because Shakhtar Donetsk has already beaten them once at home. Mm. Napoli are then going to be in a position where they pretty much have to beat Feyenoord and Shakhtar Donetsk to guarantee progression.
Yeah, which is why they need something from this game, don't they? And I would completely understand why people would look at the price of a team flying high at the top of Serie A at 4-1 and think that there's a potential chance there. But I just can't see it. I just can't see the way that Man City are playing, particularly with this game being at home. I suppose with these double headers, and as you say, the way the fixtures kind of fall, the managers kind of treat these as like a two-legged affair. And you know, but again, you know, Pep Guardiola, I've got them wrong. You know, when they went to Feyenoord in the earlier group game away from home, you know, I thought City would be trying to be tight, and you know, I thought Feyenoord would obviously put in a little bit of better performance than they actually did. But City just swept them aside, and they're averaging over 4 goals a game at home this season. So it's a frightening prospect for Napoli. But as you say there, you're exactly right. There is a lot of pressure on Napoli to get something from this game. But how on earth, if you're in the opposition dugout to Pep Guardiola at the moment, do you kind of deal with Manchester City? I don't know where you even begin to sort of start solving the problem. You've got to try and stop Kevin De Bruyne, obviously. But it's just easier said than done. You know, you couldn't tell me that other managers haven't tried to do that. Whether you've got the personnel or not, I'm not too sure. I do think some of the praise on Man City is a little bit over the top. I think people were getting, you know, don't get me wrong, they're the best team at the moment in the country. But, you know, I've heard some stuff that is suggesting that they're almost touching where Barcelona were a few years ago. No, they're nowhere near at that level yet, but they are a team, I think, that nobody would want to play. And generally as well, Man City's home form has been pretty good in the Champions League. You know, since they've been irregulars in this competition, their home form has been pretty solid, really. You know, they don't drop too many points. They tend to score goals. They do concede, but they tend to cross the line and get over it. And they'll be in a very strong position if they win this game, which, like I say, I'm expecting them to do it. And I think even if you're backing a bag load of goals in this game, whether it be a 2-2 or 3-2, or even Manchester City just pull out all the stops and win 5-0, I think we're guaranteed goals.
Okay. We move to Maribor against Liverpool then. This is a slightly different clash to talk about. Maribor 14-1, the draw 6-1, and Liverpool at 2-11. This, like the Man City game, is on the Tuesday night. And, well, Liverpool should be winning this, Tom, but do you want to back them at 2-11 here?
No, I really don't. it's the same way for Liverpool. Any away match, well, almost any game at the moment. But any away game like this, I'm very, very wary about Liverpool at that kind of price. I think they're way, way too short. I mean, you've got to think that Maribor will still feel that they're in the mix to potentially finish, you know, third in this group and make sure they get in the Europa League. They're second in the domestic league at the moment. They've had what they would consider to be a slow start to the season, but they've only lost one of their 11 matches. They did lose 3-0 to Sevilla, but they got a 1-0 draw against Spartak Moscow at home. But they are decent at home. They're generally, their Champions League record is pretty strong, you know. And they've played some good sides at home down the years. They've only lost 5 home games in the Champions League in sort of the 17 years or so they've been involved in the competition. So that's pretty impressive. And you have to look at some of the teams that have gone there and struggled to come away with the victory. For example, Chelsea a few years ago. You know, Sporting Club, these were 1-1 draws that Maribor managed to sort of grind out. Celtic went there and have drawn as well. Generally speaking, in the Champions League, they're a pretty good side at home. And in fact, one of the only teams to beat them in recent years was Schalke. And even then, that was narrow. It was only by 0-0. These games are normally extremely tight for Maribor at home in the Champions League. And they tend to score in almost every single one of their matches, but they only tend to score 1 goal. So it's about Liverpool. If Liverpool can score 2, going on that sort of trend, then they win the game. Because Maribor, and given Liverpool's defence, you would think there's going to be a goal in this for the home side. But it's not it's not as simple an equation, this game, as I think people might look at it on paper. I think when you look that little bit closer into it, it's a big match for Liverpool, but it's a big game for Maribor. I mean, Liverpool have, you know, been frustrated, haven't they, these first few matches with the draws that they've managed to get. But, you know, they concede as well. I mean, I was looking at this, Liverpool have conceded in all 7 away games that they've had this season, and 11 of their last 13 Champions League away games, they've conceded goals. So, you know, throw into the fact that Liverpool just are a team that concede at the moment. I'd be tempted to take the draw price here at 6-1. I look at Maribor and all the draws that they have managed to get. This is a team that, you know, is capable of doing it. And I just question Liverpool whether they've got enough mentally maybe to sort of get over the line again. If they have to win the game, there's no doubt about it. They have to pick up 6 points. Before the group started, I think you'd have had these two fixtures as possibly the easiest ones that Liverpool have. Therefore, they've got to pick up 6 points, particularly after their first two results. But I'm not too sure here. I think Maribor are a tough outfit at home, and I'm more tempted to take the draw at a bigger price at 6-1 than have anything on Liverpool. They could sweep them aside because they've obviously got better players, but I'm not interested at those kind of prices. Might also look at sort of Maribor plus a goal as well at 9-2. Mm. Even the plus two is 11-8, which I don't think is bad at all. But you know, I think Maribor are a tough side and Liverpool are fragile.
And also appealing is Maribor just to score, which is also 11-8.
Yeah.
Not bad at all, is it?
I think that's brilliant. I mean, I think that is amazing considering their home Champions League goal scoring record, which is they often nearly always score at home, and Liverpool's defensive record away from home. I mean, I think that is cracking value for a Maribor goal. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's down towards the bottom of the console. Over half a goal for Maribor is, or more, that is, yes, obviously, at 11-8. Certainly tempting in that clash. The other Tuesday night game is potentially a humdinger. It's Real Madrid against Tottenham. Real Madrid 4-9, the draw 15-4, and Tottenham are in the betting at 11-2. Tottenham finally managed to win a game at Wembley against Bournemouth in the league, and they've actually won their last 5 in all competitions now, both home and away. Away from home, they are absolutely flying. You have to go back to West Ham on the 5th of May for the last time they lost on the road. And Real Madrid are not really flying in Spain. Not as much as perhaps we thought that they could be at this stage of the season, Tom. Is the 4-9 on offer for Real Madrid a little disrespectful to Spurs?
Possibly, but I think what's taken into account is the separation really between Real Madrid's domestic form and their European form, because there has, at times in recent years, been quite a marked difference for Real Madrid. You know, they have taken their eye off the ball domestically. They have suffered, obviously, some very high-profile shock results already this season. And they are already facing a battle, aren't they, you know, domestically to challenge and win the league. But in Europe, I've been pretty impressed with their opening performances, and also the victory over Apoel on the opening day. That was pretty standard stuff. But the win in Dortmund was very, very impressive, because I think there was quite a few punters who fancied, you know, Dortmund to get a result to turn them over, especially because I think that was just after Madrid had suffered a bad result in the league. And just Madrid were brilliant, and they are the masters at this, you know, at this stage of the competition at home on home soil. I don't think it matters who they're playing against. And you're looking at Tottenham, who aren't well versed in these kind of games. You know, their players are not experienced in these kind of situations. I mean, to put in some kind of context for Real Madrid at home, they've not lost at home in the Champions League since 2015. So they've won 13 of 16 games. They've not lost in the group stages at home since 2009. So they've won 21 of their last 23 group matches at home. Now, this season, of course, they've been scoring a lot of goals, 26 in their 12 matches, but they've only kept 3 clean sheets in that run. So again, we're looking at another team here that seems to have forgotten or doesn't care anymore about the art of defending or keeping things tight. And why should they? Because their strength is going forward, and some of the players, like Asensio in particular, stepped up to the plate this year. So from Tottenham's perspective, they've been impressive too in the Champions League. Obviously, that their victory against Dortmund, I thought, was you know, extremely important to them as well. Just to start off the Champions League run in a good way. They're on a long unbeaten run. They were well beaten by Madrid, if you remember correctly, that game. I think it was sort of 5-6 years ago or so in the Champions League. But they are doing extremely well away from home, as you point out. Whether that's going to transfer, though, to the Bernabeu, I'm not too sure. I think Real Madrid are going to win this game. I think Tottenham, when it comes to this kind of stage, I'm not too sure they're going to be able to sort of mix it with what Real Madrid have on offer. Now, take them back to Wembley might be a different story. Mm. If you took them back to White Hart Lane, I'd really fancy them.
Yeah.
Wembley, I'm not too sure. But the only thing I'm unsure about this game, Alex, I don't know what you think, is I've read differing perspectives already on this matchup. Some expecting fireworks and, you know, with all the attacking talent on show, and others expecting it to be quite tight. And I suppose if I was leaning on one side or the other, I just expect Real Madrid to kind of comfortably win the game, 2-0, 3-0, something along those lines. I think there is an argument to say that Tottenham can score, and why would you not look at, you know, Madrid and both teams to score at 8-5, given what Tottenham have at their disposal. But I'm undecided yet as whether this is going to be sort of a routine job done for Real Madrid, or we're going to get the kind of Tottenham performance that will really sort of take it to Madrid. I just don't think that's in Pochettino's way. I think in this game, I think he's going to try and be compact and try and play on the counter-attack. I think that's the only way he can do it. But I think if you remember the last time Spurs were really in the Champions League, you know, with Harry Redknapp and Gareth Bale, and they caused a few problems for teams away from home. They were involved in these amazing games, the one in Milan, obviously the most notable one. But that was because they were more of an adventurous side. And while I really respect, I've got full of admiration for what Tottenham have done, I just don't know if the approach to this one is going to be sort of attack for attack. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the way you've probably got to deal with Real Madrid. But I think at the moment, in recent years, teams in Europe have really struggled in working out how to deal with them, none more so than in the final against Juve. So I suppose if I was looking at one bet here, the one that sticks out to me is Madrid and both teams to score. But I'd be looking at a 2-1, 3-1 kind of scoreline, nothing more than that.
OK. And worth noting as well, no Dele Alli still for Spurs. Mm. He's still suspended. So, I mean, you just look at the players. Take Kane out of it.
Yeah.
And you're left with most likely Son, Eriksen, Sissoko, Dier, Winks. It's sort of like, I don't want to call them flat-track bullies because they're not, but it's the kind of players that you just think, well, they are very good against most teams, but none of them have electric pace. None of them are especially tricky. You know, it's just sort of, they're very, very good. And I'm certainly not saying that they're not. Apart from Moussa Sissoko, he's rubbish. But the rest of them, you know what I mean?
I completely agree. Tottenham are a prime example of being, you know, better than the sum of their parts, aren't they? They are a unit that are probably one of the best units in the Premier League. Maybe Chelsea last season, obviously. But in terms of their functionality and what they do, they're brilliant. And in Harry Kane, you know, they've got a striker who, for me, is as good as the man who might play, you know, in the other number nine shirt in Benzema. I mean, he's that good. Mm. And if he has half a chance, he'll probably score. It's just, Tottenham don't often, and we haven't seen them much this season, you know, playing this kind of fixture against a team that they know man for man is better than that. I think they'd back themselves against any Premier League team, but this is kind of a step up. And psychologically, it's a step up for a young side. But that's the problem as well for me at the Bernabeu, pace. Mm. There isn't a lot of it in that team, and you need to get at Real Madrid quickly because you're going to be soaking up a lot of pressure, and getting forward is going to be important, and Dele Alli will be a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. But promises to be a cracker on Tuesday night at the Bernabeu, and apologies to Moussa Sissoko. I'm just a bitter, twisted Newcastle fan. We've got on Wednesday night Bayern Munich against Celtic. Bayern are 10s on. The draw 9-1. Celtic are 18-1. We've got enhanced odds on Robert Lewandowski to score, if I put my teeth back in, and Bayern Munich to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, pushed out from 9-2 to 5s. And also, we've enhanced Lee Griffiths to score and Celtic to win, pushed out from 25s to 33-1. But as far as I'm concerned, you could stick a nought on the end of that and I still wouldn't want to back it. This could be an absolute humping for Celtic, couldn't it? They did so well to win at Anderlecht. They won 3-0 there. Mm. Then they got absolutely battered at home by PSG. PSG, who in turn managed to batter Bayern Munich as well. Surely Celtic can't go here and even get close to Bayern. Surely not.
Well, they can't and they shouldn't. And if they do, then it's going to be another one of the sort of surprise results that Bayern Munich have already been involved in this season. Again, you know, a bit similar to Real Madrid in a way, you know, stuttering a little bit, fierce criticism. I mean, obviously the manager's, you know, already gone and there's a lot of criticism about the ageing team that's there and what's going to happen for them over the next few years. And I get a sense from reading certain bits online from Bayern Munich supporters that they've pretty much given up. They don't really feel they're contenders in the Champions League this year. Now, we've seen teams I wouldn't say stumble their way towards the final, but certainly get into a position where before they've realised it, oh well, we're in the quarterfinals here, and you know, then you only need to suddenly produce a good run of games. But you know, Munich themselves, they kind of recovered slightly. I mean, obviously it was a thumping victory for them at the weekend against Freiburg, and that followed a 3-match winless run. Of course, the shock result was when they were thumped against PSG. I mean, and they were well beaten against Paris Saint-Germain. You know, it was 3-0. It could have been more. And I think that was the shock about that. I think in that fixture, you could make a case for PSG winning. But I don't think many expected them to win as comfortably as they did. And obviously, they've drawn a couple of matches in the Bundesliga around that game as well. Celtic continue to fly, but I'm looking at their away record in the Champions League, and it is poor. And this is going back a fair distance now. But even if you look at the sample of the last 12 away games they've had, they've only managed to win 3 of those games. You know, and they've had some embarrassing defeats as well. I mean, you know, they lost to Astana, of course. There was the big one against Barcelona, you know, the 7-0. And this could be along those lines. You know, at home as well for Bayern Munich, and it's similar to Real Madrid's record. You know, while they have Stuttgart and Wolfsburg went and got a point from the Allianz Arena, you know, generally their home form is brutal, isn't it? 17 wins from the last 18 matches. Celtic, again, don't know what the game plan is. Don't know how they even deal with what Bayern have at their disposal. And there'll be no chance of Bayern sort of taking it easy in any way. There are players that are under pressure. It's a club that generally just needs to try and get itself, you know, from drowning, really. It just needs results in however means. And they will be wanting to do... They will be wanting to get the victory here in a fashion, in a style. And I think they'll be hungry for it, Bayern Munich. So I think they win this very, very comfortably. You're looking at the handicaps here, the -2, -3. Couldn't put you off that. But it wouldn't surprise me given, you know, Arjen Robben, he got a couple, didn't he, for Holland in his last sort of his international swan song. But I'd be backing him 2 or more goals at 11-4. I think he's going to have a good night, put it that way. I think he's going to have a lot of joy and a lot of time and space, and that's what Celtic can't afford to give the Bayern players. But sadly, I just don't think they're going to be able to stop them.
Bayern to win to nil, also in at 17-20. If you do think they can keep a clean sheet, that could be a kind price. Bayern -2, -8, -11, -3, -17-10. Perhaps all worth a look in that one. What about Chelsea Roma? Chelsea are 6-10. The draw 3-1. Roma are 9-2. This could be a really, really intriguing clash. Chelsea side, who everything seemed to be, you know, just sort of ticking along quite nicely. Obviously, they messed up at home to Burnley first day of the season, and then they seemed to get things back on track. But even after winning in Madrid away at Atleti, which was a sensational result, they then were absolutely annihilated at home by Man City, and how that was 1-0 is anybody's guess. And then they've come back after the international break with a couple more injuries and then lost away at Crystal Palace. They've got plenty to prove here, not in the European sense, if that makes sense, because they are doing absolutely fine in their group. But they do come up against a Roma side who I think their last away defeat in a competitive match was back at the start of March, Tom. They tend to be pretty tight on the road.
Yeah, they do, and they will provide, I think, a pretty stern test here for Chelsea, who, you know, I think they are going to end up where most people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season, which is probably in the top four, but I don't think anyone expects them to have any kind of success given the squad that they have and given the recruitment that they made. I mean, you know, I think once they've lost sort of 2 or 3 key players at any point this season, they suddenly look a far weaker team. And that's only highlighted with Morata and his injury. I mean, they've missed him so badly because they just don't have a capable deputy. I mean, Batshuayi is getting stick, and I think understandably so because he's nowhere near in the league of somebody like Morata or of course Diego Costa, you know, in his pomp. And there's a suggestion that Morata could be back. I think he's returned to sort of light training, and Conte was talking after the game at the weekend that there's a chance that he could be back for this game. If he is back and if he does start this game, it does change a lot of things for Chelsea because generally it'll give them such a huge lift. And you mentioned that their opening results have been, you know, fantastic in the Champions League, particularly getting that late winner at Atletico Madrid. It changes everything from the perspective in the group as well, because it is a tight one this year. Now, what's Roma's approach going to be? Because they lost to Napoli at the weekend. Would a point be good enough? Would they go and settle for a point? Or would they think, given the start that they've made in the Champions League, that they have to go and get 3? I don't necessarily think they do, because they drew with Atletico Madrid in their opening game. So they've got 4 points because they beat Carabag recently away. So, you know, I think they're in a pretty good position, Roma, to to give this one a bit of a go, because you, I suppose if you go there and you don't get anything, then you've suddenly got pressure on you, you know, the following week to try and beat Chelsea and sort of make amends for that. But looking again at sort of Chelsea and looking for indicators about how the match might go, Conte with his squad, he'd love to sort of approach this one and keep it tight and you know, just know that he's going to have a lot of possession of the ball and try and break down Roma. But one, I don't think he's got the personnel to kind of do that. And secondly, you know, Stamford Bridge has become a little bit of a problem for them this season, not in terms of results, but certainly in terms of conceding goals, because they have been doing that, Chelsea. They conceded in 7 of the last 11 matches at Stamford Bridge. Sorry, 9 and 13 it is at Stamford Bridge. So, you know, for them, they've suddenly become a place that was, you know, going into the back end of last season as well, where I think teams fancy their chances there. And Roma will probably know they've got to score. They have to score to get a result in this one. And I'm expecting quite a good game here. It'll be an interesting matchup, just how both managers kind of approach it. Obviously, Dzeko, former Premier League striker, Man City, you know, he'll know all about this. He'd love to kind of, I think, make a little bit of a mark when he comes back to England as well. So, although I'm expecting goals, I think this will be a pretty competitive and physical match. So, I was looking at this earlier, and I quite like the look of over 3.5 goals at 2-1, because I'm not 100% decided on the result here. I just feel that that both teams are going to try and make a little bit of a statement. So, I'm backing the over 3.5 at 2-1.
OK. The final Champions League game that we're going to focus on is on Wednesday night. It's Benfica at home to Manchester United. Benfica 7-2, the draw 11-4, and Man United are 3-4. A Benfica side who I had really high hopes for in this group, because Basel and CSKA Moscow are certainly not world beaters by any means, and nor are Benfica, to be fair, but I still thought that they'd comfortably finish second in this group. They've got a lot of work on if they are to do so. And two games against a Manchester United side who are looking every inch a Mourinho side is not going to be easy. They need something from these two games, don't they?
Well, they've got to. I think when the draw was made for the group, Alex, you'd have probably put Benfica and Manchester United, obviously, you know, the top two. But Benfica's, you know, their general form has been poor. They've been dropping points, obviously, domestically. But also, they're in the Champions League. I mean, a 5-0 defeat to Basel, wasn't it? I mean, that unbelievable result there for Benfica. And then that 2-1 loss at home to CSKA. They've lost 3 of the last 7 in all competitions. They're 5 points off Porto at the top of the Primeira Liga. And they've lost 4 of the last 6 in the Champions League. So nothing is there for Benfica to suggest that they can get a result against a Manchester United team who have a good head-to-head record with Benfica. They've only lost 1 of the last 6 meetings between the two sides. They're scoring goals. They've got Mourinho as manager, who, when he sets his sights on getting something from a game, he gets it. But I think he'll want to go and win this game. I think he'll know that obviously 6 points, you know, from these two matches against Benfica, and they're done and dusted. And then they can kind of put the last couple of matches and probably play them in second and third gear. And I think he'll know that Mourinho, just in terms of utilising his squad, he'll know that, you know, a big push now over these next couple of matches and it's done and dusted, and they should win this game, Manchester United. I think they should be far too strong for a Benfica side who have no confidence, and I think the last thing they'd want to do now in the searching for 6 points is come up against the best team in the group. So there should be no problem. I think he'll go fairly strong as well, Mourinho, which is why I think the enhanced odds of Lukaku to score on Manchester United to win at 7-4 looks very, very good to me. I don't mind Manchester United at 3-4. I actually think it's a decent price. It's a price I can get on board with for Manchester United here. And some of the other scorers as well. You know, Martial, you know, we discussed him before on the podcast in the Champions League. This might have to be sort of his stage this season, because he's not getting, you know, massive looking in the Premier League. But he's getting his opportunity in these matches. And I still think he's got something to offer. I know some people have written off his career at Manchester United. That might be the case, but in these kind of games, he's proved it already this season. He can put in man-of-the-match kind of performances. And, you know, there's a big difference from Lukaku at 19 to 20 any time to somebody like Martial at 17 to 10. I think that's a big difference, especially when you would expect Manchester United to play on the break. And, you know, his pace, you know, could serve him extremely well in this game. So I think if you're looking at a goal scorer, I think Martial would be the one, but Manchester United will win this.
OK, well, we'll turn our attention to the Europa League then. And on Thursday night, the 6 o'clock kickoff is Red Star Belgrade against Arsenal. Home side 7-2, the draw 13-5, and Arsenal are 3-4 in the betting. Now, it's an Arsenal side, as we know, with plenty of injuries, but they have won both games so far in the group. 3-1 win at home to Cologne and then 4-2 away at Bate Borisov. I suppose that Red Star Belgrade are pretty similar to Bate Borisov in that they're pretty strong at home. They probably don't have designs on going too far in the competition, but at the same time, they're so hard to beat at home. Granted, the Serbian League is nothing too special, I think it's fair to say. But at the same time, this isn't going to be easy for Arsenal. That said, Tom, I was surprised to see Arsenal as big as 3-4 in this.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think this is the kind of fixtures, again, particularly after the weekend, particularly after the fallout from Arsenal's defeat at Watford, that they just wouldn't want. I can almost imagine the Arsenal players getting back on the bus at, you know, outside Vicarage Road and checking their phones, looking at their calendar, going, who have we got next? Oh. You know, and I just can kind of, especially when, you know, it is the same old criticism of them. I couldn't believe that their second half performance against Watford. I mean, this is a team that, although you say, and you're right, they've started Europa League well in terms of the results, I don't think the performances have been that convincing, and it could have been very different, particularly with their match at home against Cologne. So I still think there's big problems at Arsenal. I mean, it had been, you know, if they'd have won at Watford, you'd say everything's been quite rosy because they're kind of creeping up the table and, you know, no one's really sort of pointing at them and saying, oh, there's a big crisis there. But then all of a sudden they've got this kind of fixture which they have to win. And yeah, okay, man for man, you know, these kind of matchups, there's no doubt Arsenal have a better squad of players, but they're up against a team, you know, with supreme confidence at the moment. They're top of their domestic league and they've been scoring absolutely boatloads of goals at home. I think they've got 11 in the last three home matches in the league. And I know they're not coming to playing against, you know, teams like Arsenal every week, and that probably highlights why, you know, that they can score a lot of goals at home. But I couldn't back Arsenal in this game. Absolutely no way. They could win, and as I said, 3-4. Yeah, it might be tempting for some, but put it this way, they're the same price as Manchester United at Benfica. And I know who I want to be backing more, because Benfica are wobbly, and Manchester United are a better team and a more organised side and a stronger outfit than Arsenal. So, you know, by that logic, I cannot back Arsenal in this one. So I would probably look at the draw, or even if I was looking at the kind of the goal bets here, it's a tricky one. Really, I can only play the handicaps really for Red Star Belgrade, and it's 17-2 for minus one, but it's even money plus a goal for Red Star Belgrade. I've got to be with that. After watching them second half against Watford, I can't back Arsenal going at Belgrade and getting a result. Can't back them.
What do you make of Troy Deeney's comments?
Well,
he's not wrong, is he? But at the same time, you just don't expect I'm not saying he's in any way out of order by saying them. It's just it's a refreshing honesty that you don't often get with footballers nowadays.
Yeah, we all want players to be honest, and we all moan when they come out with the cliches and interviews and everything else. Now maybe he's setting himself up for, you know, some media work. You know, when he hangs up his boots and he's, you know, that's all kind of in his mind. But he's only saying what everybody else knows and everyone else has said. The only difference is he's a current Premier League player who just played against them and exposed every weakness that everybody talks about Arsenal. So it was refreshing, but it was also a massive insight into, you know, that basically opposition players think exactly as we do, you know, rough them up, you know, get into them, see who wants to get into a battle. And Troy Deeney is the absolute shining example of what Arsenal don't like playing against nowadays. And that is a bit, once they'd lost that, they were never, ever going to be in the hunt for titles again. And they haven't been since they've lost that kind of will and desire. What will be interesting is how the Arsenal players react. But I think Troy Deeney, he'll have thought about those comments before he said them. And I think he probably thought, I'm not really worried that the Arsenal players won't, you know, there'll be no comeback when we go to the Emirates later on in the season, because I just think he's got their cards marked, hasn't he? And that's probably more of a damning indictment than actually what he said. The fact that he thought he can say it, and there won't be a problem later on down the line. And when I say a problem, what I mean is it would provide, in football and in all professional sport, you're very guarded about giving the opposition any kind of motivation. You know, if he said that, it could have that knock-on effect. But I think he's taken the gamble and gone, I don't even think they'll be bothered. I don't even think they'll be listening. And if they do, they'll admit. They can't argue with it, can they?
No.
I don't think you find an Arsenal player who goes, that's not true, because it is.
Mm. The final game on this edition of The Punt is Everton against Lyon. This is an 8:05 kickoff on Thursday evening. Everton are 5-4, the draw 12-5, and Lyon are 21-10. Now, we're recording this on Monday afternoon. Ronald Koeman is still Everton manager as we are recording this. Don't know whether anything's going to be happening anytime soon, but there's certainly a little bit of unrest at Goodison Park. They've not been very good so far this season, to put it very bluntly indeed. And that was encapsulated with the 1-1 draw at Brighton on Sunday. And this is going to be no easier. Even though Leon aren't having a startling start to the season, they're very capable on their day. That said, you'd still imagine both sides wouldn't be absolutely gutted with a draw here. Given the way this group is panning out, it's draw central, isn't it, so far?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit like the Wales and Republic of Ireland group and the Euros qualifying, the World Cup qualifying. But I don't know. I'm kind of guessing. A friend of mine is a season ticket holder at Everton, and he said that quite a lot of the fans, he'd maybe say it was 60%, have almost kind of made their mind up on Koeman. That's how he feels anyway, the people who sit around him. That they don't think there's kind of a way back, because he's made fundamental errors in the summer in the transfer window. So they're kind of looking at their squad and thinking, well, we can't then complain about this because you didn't address it when you could have. The point I'm trying to make is that I think generally fans' minds are made up now, and I don't know that there is a way back for Koeman. I mean, I don't think there's a way back, because I don't think he can turn around that group of players into something that the Everton fans, I think, thought they were going to be getting, which was, the second season of Koeman, loads of money spent, quite exciting signings in certain areas, but not in the areas that you kind of pay your money for: goalkeeper, centre-back, defensive midfielders. You know, I know they brought back Rooney, but, and Sigurdsson, but I don't think there's kind of any plan to the signings. I don't think any of them really made sense. I think Keane kind of did, the goalkeeper, yes. But did they need Schneiderlin? Did they need Sigurdsson once they signed Rooney? They were crying out for a strike. Anyway, it's kind of old ground that with Everton. But ahead of this game and this match, being back at Goodison, I wonder what kind of atmosphere is going to be generated ahead of the game. In fact, I heard another Everton fan on the radio after the game at the weekend said he wished that Rooney had missed the penalty. just so Koeman would have been sacked. He said he's that sick and tired of the football and everything else. So, look, short fuse and rightly so. And Europe's not provided much sort of respite for them either, Everton, because you said there have been a lot of draws. And the draw against Apollon at Goodison was not great. And Leon, as you see, domestically, not started the season brilliantly. Probably when you're sort of comparing both teams' form overall, you can probably say they're pretty similar. And Leon have drawn three of their last four matches, but they are unbeaten in those four games. And they did beat Monaco in their last game. And away from home in Europe, Leon traditionally over recent seasons, certainly the last time they were in the Europa League, they've gone for it at teams, and they've scored goals. They've scored at places like Roma, Besiktas, Ajax. They only drew with Apollon, but that was away from home. So look, they're capable of scoring, and they would have to be surely looking at Everton's defending and the way they've played recently and absolutely rubbing their hands at the thought of getting something. But there's not a lot to split them, is there, in terms of the prices? And when I see a game like this and I look at the results and the way both teams are going to approach it, I think I'm going to go straight down the middle and go for the draw here at 5-2. And even better, I'll play 3-1 for a score draw. So the draw and both teams to score for me.
Okay. Plenty to get your teeth stuck into, though, across all of the European games this week. And best of luck, listeners, with whatever it is that you are backing, whether it's in the games that the home nations, if you like, are playing in, the domestic clubs, or whether it is that you're looking elsewhere. Tom, if I was to push you for a Napa best selection of all of those that you've put up, what would it be?
I think it's probably torn between the two Manchester teams, really. But I think Manchester United in Benfica to win. I'd also back them to win and over 2.5 goals. But I think a Manchester United victory, or over 4.5 goals in the Man City-Napoli game, I'm split down the middle between those two.
Okay. And for what it's worth, I think Bayern to win to nil at 17-20 against Celtic is just ridiculous. I can't understand why it's that big.
No, it is, because Celtic won't have any other game whatsoever.
No.
So, and the great thing about that is if Bayern do stumble, and they don't win 3 and 4, as some people will expect, it's still a landing bet. But I can't see Celtic troubling them at all.
No. And if you do think, ooh, hang on, what if Bayern draw 0-0? I think I'm right in saying that the 17-20 is also available. Yeah, it's 17-20 for Munich to win to nil. It's also 17-20 for Bayern to keep a clean sheet. So you may as well just back that one. Just in case,
Brilliant.
Anyway, thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you.
We'll speak to you soon. Best of luck, listeners, with your bets. Same to you, Tom. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.